Now we're holding on Chof Zayin Amr Aleph, the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Afasimla hoisa b'chlal kol eivu. A garment was also in the category of all of these. Meaning, when the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aved, it goes like this. First it says, you're not allowed to see your fellow yid's ox or sheep straying, lost, and hide from it and pretend like you didn't see it. You have to return it. Then the pasuk continues a couple of psukim later. The same thing you should do for his donkey. And so you should do for his clothing. And the same thing for anything else that he loses. So clothing was already included in anything that he loses. The Lama Yotzas, why is it mentioned separately? Now we're going to deal with in the Gemara why the various animals are mentioned separately as well. Why does it say the ox and the sheep and the donkey? But then here the Mishnah is focusing on why does it mention the garment? So Lahakish Elaha, it's brought in order to make a hekish with it, Loy Maloch, and it tells you like this. Mas Simlam Yuchedes, what's special about a garment? Sheyeshla Simonin Vyeshla Toivin. It has simonim, a garment. Every person makes their garments a little bit differently, and it has simonim. The yeshla tovin, and there is somebody demanding it. Meaning, in other words, as opposed to when we know that the person was miyayish. So af kol davar sheyeshla simonim, the yeshla tovin chayv mahachlis. The same way, we learn from that that anything that has simonim and that has somebody that's demanding it, meaning that he hasn't been miyayish on it, then he would have to go and announce it. So again, Rashi learns the way we just said that yesh lo tovin means, in other words, that he wasn't miyayish on it. Tosfos explains somewhat differently that it means that the reason the owner is not miyayish is because of the simonim. Meaning, in other words, now we're going to deal with in the Gemara, we're going to have a sugya in the Gemara beginning at the bottom of the Yomud, whether returning a lost object based on simonim is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. We touched on this at the end of the previous parak. Here we're going to deal with it in more detail. So if we say that simonim are d'oraisa, then it means, in other words, the person doesn't have yush because he has simonim, and therefore he knows he can get it back on that basis. Even if we say, as we're going to discuss in this sugya, that simonim are only dirabanan, and that midaraisi you would really need edim, nevertheless, the simonim help to get you edim in the sense that now, based on the simonim, that enables you to go and find edim who will be able to say that they recognize that this garment actually belongs to you on the basis of the simonim that they've seen before. So either way, the fact that there are simonim means that there's not going to be yush. So it's not just like, so in other words, Tosfos is saying, it's not just like Rashi says, the fact that the person is not miyayish, it's more the simonim themselves bring about that yesh lo tovin. And therefore you would have to return it. Then there's also, the Ravid learns it yet a little differently. He says the vote is that, people are not usually miyayish on personal items like clothing, and therefore we can learn from clothing that anytime he wasn't miyayish, then he has to return it. Okay, so the Gemara says, "My bechlal kol eilu." What do we mean in the category of all of these? In the category of what? Amar Rav bechlal kol avedas achicha. So Rav says it means in the category of anything that you felt that your brother, that your fellow Jew loses. Where again, plus it could have just said without mentioning specifically the garment, and it mentions it specifically, and that means we learn from it this din that we said in the mission. And the Gemara continues, Omar Rav, Lomali Dekosu Rahmana Shur Hamor Sev Simma. Why indeed does the Torah have to list all four of those things? So Trichi, the reason is we need all four of them. It wouldn't have been enough just for the Torah to say that if you see anything that your fellow Yid loses, you have to return. It had to mention these four. The Ikas Rahmana Simla, if the Torah had only written a Simla, a garment, Havamina, then you would have think, Hani Mili de Edim de Gufa, the Simonim de Gufa. You know when you have to return it. when you have Edim or Simonim, depending again whether Simonim are Daraisa or Darabanan, if you say they're only Darabanan and Daraisa, you'd need Edim, whatever the case, you would think that that would only work only if you have Edim on the thing itself or Simonim on the thing itself, if we say that Simonim are Daraisa. Meaning, exactly that. With a garment, there's nothing else that goes along with it that you have Simonim or Edim on. It's the garment itself that you have. That you have a simon on, that it's woven in this particular pattern, or it has a rip, or it has a rip or a stain dafka over here or whatever. Avo hamur the edim de ukaf the simonim de ukaf. But what about, for example, if you lost a donkey and the donkey has a saddle on it? Suppose that you don't have edim who can testify about the donkey itself, or you don't have simonim about the donkey itself, but instead what you have is simonim or edim about the saddle. And as the Gemara is going to point out on other days, a particular saddle always goes with a particular donkey. People don't lend out saddles because they're made to measure for the exact, for especially for this particular donkey. So you would think emaloi, without the pasuk mentioning the word donkey, emaloi ma'adrin and lay, you would think maybe you don't have to return it with simonim on the saddle. Maybe only if it's like a simla where the simonim or the edim are on the thing itself. Therefore, kasher rachmana chamer. Therefore, the Torah writes a donkey dafilu chamer b'simoni ha'ukaf to tell us that yes, given that you're returning something based on a simon, even if the simon is only on the saddle, but we know that the saddle goes together with this particular donkey, then that would be reason enough to return the donkey as well. It wouldn't be now we learned a few gachim ago. We had, for example, the case of finding paris inside a keli, and we discussed over there if they're inside the keli or partly spilled out or whatever. And there, the point is that the paris don't always go necessarily with a particular keli, but here the saddle always goes with a particular donkey. And therefore, automatically, simonim or edim on the saddle automatically go on the donkey as well. So we know that because the Torah writes the word chamur, and therefore we learn that concept. Then, Shurva said to Kosev Rahman al-Lamali, then what about the other two animals? Why does the Torah mention the ox and the sheep? So that teaches us, Shur da'afil l'gizas z'novoi. In the case of the ox, it teaches us even the shearings from its tail. So an ox has a long hairy tail. In fact, we have when they make tefillin, each parasha in tefillin is wrapped in a hank of animal hair. They usually take the hair from the tail of a cow because they're long and they're suitable for this purpose. So the Gemara mentions in Shabbos that Hashem created it dafka that way because cows are often in places where there's lots of mosquitoes and bugs and other things like that, and it's able to use its tail, it's able to use its long tail to swish them away. So anyway, the point is, if the shearings from the tail, the hair that you cut off from the tail, is not necessarily worth a pruta. And by itself, maybe you wouldn't have to return it, as the Gemara is going to discuss soon, that you don't have to return something that's less than a pruta. But here, because it goes together with the animal, then therefore you would have to return that. You would have to return that as well. So according to Rashi, that's the chiddush. In other words, that you have to return that. And the point is, even it's worth less than a pruta. Tosfos points out the chiddush is slightly different. The chiddush is that actually, when you have the animal in your care, you are obligated every so often to go and shear the tail in order to make it grow. In other words, you chayev not only to feed the animal and keep it from dying or whatever, you also chayev to do things to promote the growth of the animal. In this case, to promote the growth of its hair by shearing the tail every so often, like the way you would do if you were the owner of the animal. So even though now you're shearing it and what you're shearing off is worth less than a pruta, nevertheless you're obligated to do that. We learn that from the shur. The sel gizoysav, and in the case of a sheep, similarly it teaches us as far as the shearings. So again, it doesn't mean it wouldn't mean that you have to return the shearings. The shearings are definitely worth less, or definitely worth more than a pruta. It would mean again that you'd be obligated every so often to shear the sheep if it stays by you for a considerable amount of time, the same way as you would if it was your own sheep. Well, The Gemara asks, the Lichter Rachmanah showed that Philo Gizas Nove of a Hoshkin Sala Gizasav. Well, in that case, why does the Torah have to write both of them? It could have just said the sheep. And we understand from that, or the other way around, it should have said the ox, and then it'll tell us that, yes, you have to return the shearings from the tail, the hair from the tail, but Hoshkin Sala Gizasav, and we would understand all the more so when it comes to a sheep, where the fleece from the sheep is definitely worth more than a prota. And if you have to return the shearings from the tail because they're agav the animal, and therefore the animal itself is worth more than a prota, and therefore you have to return the shearings as well, then all the more so we would realize by a sheep where each one of them individually is worth a prota. And if we're saying like Tosfos that the point is by a shur that you need to trim the tail every so often, then we'd understand all the more so that you need to trim the sheep every so often. So why mention it? El Amar Rava. So rather, Rava says, you're right. It is hard to understand why it mentions the sheep b'chlal. So, Chamor de Berlot of Yehuda. The fact that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we learned this in Bava Kama, the fact that it mentions a donkey in connection with a burr, now we had in Bava Kama, we learned when it says about the nezek of burr, where you dig a pit in Rosh Hasharabim and an animal falls into it. So the pasuk is v'nachol shama shur or chamur. So according to the Chachamim, we learn that from the word shur, we exclude if a person falls in there and gets killed, that the owner of the burr is potter. And from the word chamur, we learn that if kalim fall into the burr, then break, then you potter, as we learned about that all extensively in Bava Kama. According to Rabbi Yehuda, though, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that kalim, you are chayav for in a burr. So according to him, why does it say chamur in connection with a burr? Is we taka don't understand. The seh da aveda, and as far as in our case over here, when it says the word seh, when it says the word sheep, in connection with an aveda, in connection with hashavas aveda, with different hakol, according to everybody, kasha. Then Rava says taka kasha. Why it says those? Because on the face of it, we're not learning anything from those. So yeah, it's true that we don't understand. The Torah could have written shur and could have written shur chamor and simla, and we know everything that we need to as far as hashavas aveda. What are we learning from seh? Rava says we taka don't know what we're learning from it. With that said, the Or Sameach brings an idea, in his Pirush on this Pasuk, in Or Sameach, he says maybe what it is, after all, we learned in Bava Kama, you're not allowed to raise sheep and goats in Eretz Yisrael. So you would think then, if you find a sheep, maybe you shouldn't return it. After all, whoever is keeping it is doing an Aveda by raising it in Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, the Torah is telling you that you have to return it. The reason why the Gemara doesn't use that answer might be, he doesn't say, but it might be, because after all, that whole concept is only a takana de rabbanon, so therefore, how can the Torah be hinting to it? At most, you would have to say it's an asmachta or something. So to have an actual limud from it, Rava is pointing out, you don't actually have. On a deeper level, by the way, as far as the sed aved or divrei hakol kasha, Marsha comments at the end of Masechta Makkos in connection over there with a Gemara over there that mentions how we Jewish people are like an Aveda HaMispakeshes, we're like a lost object that the owner is constantly looking for while we're in Golos. So he says the Pasuk is also hinting at that we are like the Sed Aveda, like the lost sheep. And Kasha, it's a question why we're still in Golos, why Hashem hasn't already found us and taken us out of Golos. And in the Kurta Sichas, Chelek Aleph, the Rebbe similarly says, based on something from the Friedrich Rebbe, that what it represents is the sheep represents a yid who follows the crowd, like a sheep, as a herd animal, it'll follow what everybody else is doing. So the Seh represents a person who doesn't have the Yiddish shtolz, he doesn't have the Jewish pride to go against the tide, like the way a person is supposed to go against the tide of the wider Goyish world, and instead he's just a follower. So for him, Kasha, it's hard to figure out how you're going to schlep such a yid out of that, and how you're going to get him back on the path of Torah and Mitzvahs when he doesn't have that basic concept where that says at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Al Yevish Mitnei Malivim, not to be afraid of and not to be embarrassed of those who would mock him for being different, for being a yid. So it's gonna happen anyway. Lo Yudach Menu Nidach, but it's Kasha. Rava is pointing out it's a lot harder than various other things. For example, the shur, which is destructive, or the chamur, which is cold and indifferent, which is cold, and the Gemara tells us that a donkey always feels cold, representing the person who's cold and indifferent to Yiddishkeit. In a way, it's a lot easier to get through to them than it is to the seb, but nevertheless, we have to work on that. Okay. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so we tacta don't understand, at least on the level of Darshan and Psukim, to derive halachas, what the word says, doing in the Pasuk over there, because we're not learning anything from it that we wouldn't have otherwise known from Shur. The Gemara asks, the Emel Glolim Buddha also. Okay, so maybe say that from Seh, we're learning about the droppings of the animal, that if you find an animal and it produces droppings over time, that you have to return those to the owner as well. And the answer is no, Glolim Afkori Mafkulu. No, because those droppings, the owner is going to be master them, whoever found the animal and took care of it for a while. Then the owner is going to be master, not really master per se, but he's going to be moichel that he's going to be moichel those droppings to the owner. So therefore, no, you don't have to return them. It's ein lo tovin. As we said in the Mishnah, you have to have tovin. You have to have somebody who demands it back. And here he's not going to bother. He's going to realize that he's going to realize that, you know what, you did me a favor and took care of my animal. It's true. Okay, you're required to drop your Torah, but still, to that extent, he's going to be moichel. He's going to be moichel on that. So the Gemara asks, "Dumal simonin hudasa." Maybe we could say another thing. Maybe from the word "seh," we learn the whole concept of simonin. Maybe we would have from "shur," we learn about the shearings of the tail. From "chamur," we learn about the saddle. From simla, we said that there's tovim. Maybe from "seh," we're learning the concept of simonin, that we have to return a lost object when the person gives simonin. Do you boil on? As in fact, we have the question that we're going to start dealing with at the bottom of the Amud. Simonin daraisa or dirabanan? Is it daraisa or dirabanan, or only dirabanan, that you have to return something when a person gives a simon? So maybe we'd say, kosa rachmana seh, dafil of a simonin mahadunin, the simonin daraisa. Maybe we'd say, we can answer that question. Because it says seh, then that shows that simonin are daraisa, and we learn it from that. And that would answer the question. The answer is amri, but the Bnei HaYeshiva said no. Midikatoni lahutana lasimonin. No, because the Tana of our Mishnah mentioned simonim in connection with the garment. Dikatoni, because the Mishnah had said, Mas simlam yuchedes, sheyesh lo simonim yesh lo tovin chayv ha'achuz. The Mishnah had said that a simla is special in that it has simonim and it has tovin, that the owner hasn't been miyayish from it, chayv ha'achuz, therefore you have to announce. And the Mishnah had said that we learn a binyan av from that. The same applies then to anything else that has simonim and has tovin. That goes to show, therefore, that a seh is not there in order to teach us about simonim, because we see from the Mishnah that simonim are learned from the matter of simla. So either if we say simonim or daraisa, then it's a true drosha, and we learn from that you return something with simonim on a daraisa level. If we see, as we're going to discuss in the next sugya, that if we end up saying that simonim is only dirabanan, then it would mean the pasuk is only an asmachta for that, and with daraisa you require edim. But in any case, we can't learn that from seh, because however that is, we're learning that from simla. So it's still, like Rava said, a question why it mentions seh in the pasuk and what we're learning from it. Okay. Next. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. Asher Toivad, the pasuk says that you have to return anything that he loses. So that comes to exclude a case where the thing is worth less than a pruta. Rashi explains, if it's less than a pruta, it can't be called an aveda, so you can't say asher toivad. The Ritva explains a little bit differently, since the expression in the pasuk is asher toivad mimenu, from him, then that implies, in other words, that it's actually lost to him, and if it's less than a pruta, it can't really be considered a loss to him. Anyway, that's the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda imot mutsasa, prat la'aveda shein b'shava pruta. Rav Yehuda agrees that if it's less than a shava pruta, you don't have to return it, you don't have to announce it. But he learns that from the word umutsasa, that you find it. That you find it, in other words, implies that you find something, that it's something that's called a mitzia. Prat la'aveda shein b'shava pruta, as opposed to when it's not worth a shava pruta. There is a machlokas. There is a machlokas among achronim. Does that mean you would actually be able to keep it outright, or does it just mean that you don't have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, but you really can't keep it for yourself? Okay, so we have the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Yehuda that learn it from Asher Toivad or Mitzasa. So they want to ask my Benai, what is the practical difference between these two opinions? Amar Abai, Mashmos Doshin Ikka Benai. So Abai says there's no actual practical difference between them. They're just arguing how you learn it from the Pasuk. Mar Naftalei Me'asher Toivad, Mar Naftalei Mitzasa. It's just that one is learning from one phrase in the pasuk and the other from another phrase. But according to Abaye, there's no actual Naftimina between them. As opposed to in a few lines, we're going to learn that Rava learns differently and finds an actual Naftimina between them. So the Gemara asks, okay, fine, even if you say they're arguing about how we darshan it from the psukim and there's no nakamina, nevertheless, we should still see why each one of them darshans the way he does. So, ulamanda nafkala masha tovad, hayomatsos amai ovidlai. According to the Tanakhama, if we're learning from Asher Tovad, then what is he doing with the word omatsosa, which Rabbi Yehuda had said means that he finds it implying that it was something that's considered a fine, namely a shava prota. So my Ovidle, what does he do with that? And the answer is Ahumi Bailov Khidir Rabinoi. He uses that to teach us what Rabinoi had said. Or Ravina actually goes about changes it too. We learned in Baba Kama, we had a sugi over there about if you find a lost object belonging to a goy, where you don't have a mitzvah of Ashava Sadeya, except insofar as we said over there, in order to cause a kiddush Hashem or prevent a chil Hashem, we discussed in the Gemara over there, maybe we should say that if you haven't picked up the Aveda yet, then yes, when it's a Goy's Aveda, you're not obligated to do anything with it. But maybe once you picked it up, then you're obligated to return it, whether it's a Yid or a Goy. Maybe you have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda there. So Rabbi Noi or Ravina had pointed out that no, the word Umatsasa, and you found it, implies that you actually picked it up. So still the pasuk is saying that you only have to return it to achicha, your brother, your fellow yid. So we see that even once you pick it up, if it's a goyz aveda and it's not going to be a matter of a kiddush Hashem or a chilul Hashem, then you're allowed to keep. And in fact, elsewhere the Gemara says you should keep it, you shouldn't return it because then you're putting a yid and a goy on the same level. Whatever the case, the point is, we learn it from that word umatsasa that implies that you actually already picked it up, and still the Torah is distinguishing in that regard between a Jew and a goy. So we see that, so the Tanakhama would say we learn that from the word umatsasa. So therefore you can't use the word umatsasa to teach us about a shoga prota, and therefore he says you have to learn it from Asher Toiv. Okay. What about a pointed of Yehuda who learns the Shava Prutta, who learns the minimum Shava Prutta from the word Matsasa? Hi, Ashatovid my Ovidlay. What is he doing with the words Ashatovad? And the answer is Mibola Khadir Abdich. He would use it for the Jirasha that Rav Yechanan says, which we learned at the beginning of the Perek. The Omar Rav Yechanan Meshum Rav Shem Ben Yechoi, or earlier in the Perek we had in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Ben Yehoitzadah. How do we know that if a lost object was swept away by a river, for example, by the tide or by an overflooding river or whatever, that it's mutter? Because the pasuk says, this is what you should do for any lost object from your brother, that is lost from him, and you find it, implying, only where it's lost from him, but it's accessible to anybody else. The typical case, somebody drops something in the street or someplace else, or loses track of it someplace else, where you are easily able to get it. Yotzazu, as opposed to when it was swept away by a river and dumped in the middle of the river, at the bottom of the river or something. Where it's lost from him and is not accessible to anybody else because nobody else is going to find it unless they go and dredge the river or something. So we learn from the words Asher Tovad Mimenu that distinction. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that we learn that from the words Asher Toivad, and therefore he says you can't learn the Shavu Prota from Asher Toivad, and therefore you need Umut Sasa to teach us that. Okay. So the Gemara says Ve'idach. So what about according to Rabbi Yehuda? He agrees with Rabbi Noi's din that you don't have to return a goy's lost object even if you picked it up. So where is he learning that din from? If he says that you're using almost that he's using almost sasa to teach us the different din about the shavu prota? And the answer is naftalei me almost sasa. He learns it from the extra vav of the word umitzasa. So therefore, you can learn both. It could have said a shetovet mimenu mitzasa. Instead, it says umitzasa. So therefore, an umitzasa implies you already found it. So we can learn both. Umitzasa that you found it, namely something that's worth being called a mitzia, that is a shavu prota. And umitzasa means, and you already actually picked it up, and still you have the distinction between avedas achicha and somebody else's. What about according to the Tanakhama, Hod Rav Yechanan Menolei? Where is he learning Rav Yechanan's din from about where it's swept away by the river or whatever, where it's Eina Matsuya Etzokol Adam? If he's using the word Ashatovan Mimenu to teach us about a Shavu Prota, the answer is Nafkale Mimenu. He learns it from the word Mimenu. It could have said Ashatovad, it could have said just Ashatovad, and it says Ashatovad Mimenu, so he can learn something extra from that. The Idach, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would answer Mimenu by Mashmalay, he doesn't consider that you learn something special from Mimenu. He would say that's just the style of the pasuk, and there's nothing extra to learn from that. So each of them has a way of learning from the pasuk and of using the other word in the pasuk for some other drasha, and of using a particular nuance in the pasuk to teach us another din as well. So the bottom line is, according to Rabbaya, there's no actual nafkamina between them. Each one agrees with all the relevant dinim. Each one agrees it has to be a shava prota. Each one agrees that the whole concept of a shava saveda applies only to avedas achicha, even if he picked it up. And both of them agree that if it was shot from nahar, that if it was swept away by a river or whatever, then you're potter from returning. So no actual nafkamina, just how they doubt in the psukim. On the other hand, Rava Omar, Rava says there is an actual nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Struta shohuzla ikabenayu. The nafkamina between them would be what happens if at the time when it was lost, it was worth a pruta, but now by the time you found it, it's worth less than a pruta. Lamanda Omar me ashatovad, the Tanakama who learns from the word ashatovad ika. Well, then you have. When he lost it, it was an aveda, it was worth a pruta. Whereas if you say you learn from Umetzasa, you don't have, because by the time you found it, it's worth less than a pruta, and therefore you wouldn't have the mitzvah to return it. The Gemara asks still, the fact is, each one of them knows that it says in the Pasuk, Asher Tovad Adam Umetzasa. So Ulamanda Oma Asher Tovad Haba In Umetzasa Valeka. The fact is, even according to the Tanakhama, that you're learning from Asher Tovad, the fact is the Tanakhama knows that it says in the Pasuk Umetzasa as well. So, and the fact is, Valeka, you don't have that because it's true. At the time you find that it's not a pruta. So, according to Rava, why would there be a nafkamina? Yes, the Tanakhama is learning the pruta from Asher Tovad, but he agrees that there still has to be an umutsasa. He's just learning from umutsasa a different din, but he agrees that it also means that it has to be worth pruta at the time you find it. So how would that nafkamina work? Now, the Pnei Yeshua points out, okay, maybe if he's only learning Rabbi Noi's drasha from Matzasa, maybe, how do we know that he's also learning from it a Shavu Prota? And he says the fact is the word Umetzasa in and of itself means that it has to be a Metzia. Then we said that also, Umetzasa means that you actually picked it up, because the word Metzasa implies that you actually picked it up, that you actually found it, meaning that you picked it up. So, and then we also have what we said before about the extra vav. So yes, even the Tanakhama is going to agree that the word Umetzasa also implies that it has to be worth a pruta. And here you don't have it, because by the time you find it, it's not worth a pruta. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Ela pruta shahukri the benayu. So we can say the naftamina is the other way around. If at the time it was lost, it was worth less than a pruta, and by the time you found it, it's worth a pruta, then you would have the naftamina whether you have to return it or not. So you would say, manda omar umutsasa ikka. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you would say you do have a mitzvah of Ashava Saveda because umutsasa, because when you found that it was already worth a pruta, or manda omar asha toimar lekka. Whereas if you say you learn from asha toimar, then you would say that you don't have to return it because Asher Tovad only when it's lost, and only when it was lost and it was worth a pruta, and in this case it actually wasn't worth a pruta, it wasn't worth a pruta when you lost it yet. Rabbi Akiva Eger actually points out that on the face of it, if it was less than a pruta when he lost it, then he would have had yush right then, because we're saying less than a pruta is not really considered mammon, so in that case you wouldn't have a mitzvah anyhow to return it. Okay, he says that you could talk about, let's say, that it became worth a pruta before the owner even realized that he had lost it. So therefore, there wasn't yush yet, and there wasn't yush yet. And he goes on to discuss how that would fit, how that would work, according to Rava at the beginning of the parak, that yush, shalai midas, is considered yush retroactively. But anyway, the point is, so we can say that that would be enough for me. But again, the Gemara asks, olamanda omasha tovad habba'inu matzasa v'leka. The fact is, even according to, or the other way around, Olamanda Omar Umatsasa, Habra'in and Asher Tovad Valeka, the fact is, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're focusing on Umatsasa, the fact is the Pasuk does say Asher Tovad, and you don't have that in this case, because at the time it was lost, it wasn't a Pruta, so why should there be a Naftamina? Even Rabbi Yehuda should have to agree with this din that Rava is saying that in that case, you might not have to return it. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela pruta shahukra v'chuzla v'chazra v'chukra ikabinayu. The naftamina would be if the pruta went up in value, then down and back up. Hagoyis Habach actually takes out the chukra, because we don't really need it to go up to begin with. We just need that to begin with it was worth a pruta, then at some point during the time that it was lost, it became worth less than a pruta, and now by the time you found that it's worth a pruta, whether because the Pashtus, you would say, because prices themselves are fluctuating. You have something that the person lost, let's say a loaf of bread or something, where prices during the time from when it was lost until it was found are fluctuating, and there came a point when it was worth less than a pruta, and there comes a point when it's worth a pruta again. Manda Omar, Asher Tovad Ika. So according to the Tanakhama, you're learning from Asher Tovad, well then you have, at the time when it was lost, and at the time when it was found, it was worth a pruta. Therefore, according to the Tanakhama, you'd have a mitzvah of Ashava Saveda. Manda Omar Umatsasa, whereas we can say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you learn the concept that it has to be worth a pruta from the word umatsasa, then Rabbi Yehuda would say, ba'inan de'is ba'shir mitziah, mishas aveda va'ad shas mitziah. He would say it actually has to be worth, to be considered a mitziah, which is defined as a pruta, from when it was lost until when it was found, and here where it went down in between, Rabbi Yehuda would hold there's no mitzvah of mashava aveda. So according to Rava, so Rava finds an actual naftamina. The Ritva points out, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that? Because the vav of umitzasa means to tie together. When do you have a mitzvah? When Asher Tovad and umitzasa were both the same thing, both a pruta. Or not only both, but not only both, the Tanakhama had said both, but that has to be the entire time, the vav, which ties together the losing and the finding, it all has to be on the same level where it was all worth a pruta. So therefore, according to him, if it went down in the middle, then there was a time it wasn't worth a pruta. Therefore, according to him, you wouldn't have a mitzvah to return it. You wouldn't have an obligation to return it. If he didn't have yush, then there's nothing to talk about. He might realize, for example, he lost a loaf of bread, let's say. He knows what the price of bread is currently, and he knows at some point this loaf of bread is going down in value. He goes to the store the next day to buy a new loaf of bread to replace the one, and he finds, hey, now it's selling for less than a pruta. So yeah, there can be a way he realizes it.
Especially if the bread is spoiled.
Yeah, also true. Okay, the Gemara says, Yiboylehu. Now we have the question, which we touched on before, Simonim da'oraisa or d'rabbanim. When we talk about Hashavas Aveda, based on Simonim, Are we talking about that concept is daraisa or drabanan? Now, one thing is, we show him point out, the Gemara is, now we touched on before, that there are, at the end of the previous parak, there are three different types of simonim. You have things that are not really considered a simon at all. For example, in the case of our Mishnah, we said a simla has a simon. So let's say, for example, the person were to come forward and say that I lost a red simla. That's not a simon at all. There's thousands of red simla of red garments out there. On the other hand, the other extreme is a simon muvha, a simon that is unique to this particular thing. And realistically, there's no other like it in the world that has that. An obvious thing would be if he had his name on it or something. But let's say, for example, it could be, you know, it had a stain on it in a particular location, in a particular shape or something. It's hardly likely that another dress has exactly that. Then you have in between kind of simonim, which are not quite so distinctive, but they're not that common either. Those are the ones the Gemara is dealing with over here. So if somebody were to come and say, Let's say you found a simla, the zipper on it is broken, let's say, would that be considered a simon that he has to return on Zaraisa level, or maybe only Dirabana? So the Pnei talks about the idea behind what the Gemara is asking, as you could say, that in other words, that such middle simonim are not effective. Minat Torah, because there may be lots of other things like that that have a simon, so it's not necessarily the same one, or just because maybe we have to be concerned that the person saw this object in somebody else's hands and now is lying and pretending that it's his. But well, we shouldn't deal with the question why that we're going to deal with now, we're going to deal with all of this in some detail in the sugya. Then Amban points out further on in the sugya, we're going to talk about the case where we have to be concerned that the person may have lent out the thing, and we say there are certain things a person doesn't lend out. Why don't we say that in general? Why don't we say by all lost objects that he may have lost it and that he may have lent it out and then somebody may have previously lent it out to somebody and that somebody else now knows the simonim of it and now gave it back and now is going to falsely claim that it's his. And then Amman talks about a couple of angles on it. First of all, the one who previously borrowed it isn't necessarily going to know now that it was lost. How would he know now? If he borrowed it last week and returned it, how would he know now that it's lost to even go and then try to give some money on it and return it?
Especially when
things
to pull up
in time of year. When he calls out, then he might realize, but until then, in other words, how is he going to know it was lost? And also, during the short time it was by him, not necessarily did he learn all of its simonim, so in general, we're not going to say that, but anyway, that's the question. The question is, my nachmina, what's the practical difference? Either way, you have to return based on simonim. And the answer is, la'aduri get isha the simonim. The nachmina would be, if you find a get, that the shliach lost, do you return it based on simonim? Now, when it comes to regular lost objects, I'm fine. Dinim mominus, hefker based in hefker and all that. So the chachamim can say that you should return it even if on a daraisa level you would have been allowed to keep it. But with a get, you can't. With a get, the chachamim don't necessarily have the power to do that because a get has to be valid on a daraisa level. So e'am daraisa, if you say that returning a lost object is something that has to be done on a daraisa level, even with medium type of simonim, mahadrin, and then you would have to return the get based on such simonim, because then you would say the Torah is saying that even such, not necessarily such strong simonim, you would still have to return on a daraisa level. Therefore, yes, you would have to return the get. The amit dirabanan, but if you say the whole concept of returning based on such simonim is only dirabanan, then you might well say, ki over dirabanan takanta, b'mamona. You know when the chachamim makes it a takana, right? By mamon, because hefka based in hefka. Avo be'isura loy over dirabanan takanta. Maybe the chachamim did not necessarily make such takana when it comes to dini isur v'heter, and therefore maybe you shouldn't return it. Okay. So the Gemara says, let's go through some proofs. Toshma, let's first prove from our Mishnah. We said Afa Simla B'chlau Kol Eilu, Ha'isa B'chlau Kol Eilu. We said a Simla was in the category of Kol Avedas Achicha, that it says in the Pasuk. V'loma Yotzes, so why was it singled out? La'hakish Eleho was to make a hekish with it. V'loy Malach, and tell you Ma Simla Miyachedis, Shriyash L'Simonim, V'yash L'Toyvim, Chayim L'Hakuz. So we said a garment has Simonim, and it has Toyvim, it has somebody, and it has somebody who's demanding, who wants it back, as we said, who didn't have Yush on it. And so you have to announce it. So the same thing applies to anything that has simonim and has tovim. So we see from the Mishnah that it mentions simonim, and it's learning it from the pasuk implies that simonim are daraisa. And again, we're not talking about a simon muvhak, because a simon muvhak, you don't need the pasuk to be telling us that. That would be the equivalent of edim, or that would be at least the equivalent of edim. Like we had a few days ago, we had about a Talmud Chacham where you return it to him to be a Sayyid. So when he has a Simon Muvhak, that's at least as good as to be a Sayyid, and at least as good as Aiden. So we're talking about average type Simonim. Like we said, for example, the zipper is broken, let's say. Therefore, and the Mishnah mentions Simonim, implying that even those kinds of Simonim are Daraisa. And the answer is not really. Tana Tovin at Tzvichalei. The Tana mainly wants to focus on the Tovin and learning that from the Simla. Again, because the Simla, being that it's for the various reasons that we learned on Amud Aleph, either that the owner has not been miyayish on it, because a Simla, by definition, has an owner. It's a manufactured good, after all. So by definition, it has an owner, and we can assume he wasn't miyayish yet, especially what the Raivan adds, the point that a person is not usually miyayish on his personal effects, like a Simla, or according to Tosfos, the vort is because he has simonim, therefore he's not miyayish, because he knows that it'll be easier for him to get it back. But mainly, we're focusing on Tovin, simonim, kedinas. But the fact that the Mishnah mentions simonim is only incidental. The fact is, especially according to Tosfos, and the Ritva points out in more detail, the simonim lead to the Tovin. So therefore, so the Mishnah is not really saying that there's two things that we're learning from the Simla separately, Simonim and Tovim. We're saying the Simonim is only a means by which there is Tovim. So the Mishnah mentions Simonim, but it doesn't actually necessarily mean that we're actually learning from the Pasuk that Simonim are valid. Maybe Simonim, as Tosfos had pointed out, help the person, maybe Daraisi, you need actual Edim. So we would say, Simonim help him. He goes over to some people and says, do you remember this coat that I was previously wearing that had a broken zipper? So in that case, can you come as Edim and tell the guy that this is in fact my coat, so you should return it? So he's not really using the Simonim themselves. He's only using the Simonim as a means by which to get Edim. So not necessarily does that mean Simonim all by themselves would be Daraisa. The Gemara says Toshma. Fine, let's prove from the Braisa that we learned on Amud Aleph. Rashi says, we based on the Gemara that we said before. Tosfos says that the Gemara here was quoting a Braisa. Anyway, the point is, we learned that why does it say chamur in the pasuk? That we learned that you return the donkey even if there's only simonim on the saddle. So we see, therefore, and since the pasuk says chamur, then that would mean that this concept of returning based on simonim is daraisa. And the Gemara says, no, ema be'edet ukav. No, because you could just as well say that we don't learn from that you return based on simonim of the saddle, but rather on edim of the saddle. So if you have edim, that the saddle belongs to you, then automatically the donkey goes with it. Doesn't necessarily mean that if you don't have edim, only simonim, only average simonim on the saddle, that on daraisa level that should work, maybe not necessarily. Okay. The Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring a proof from a case in Kinder, from a case at the end of Yevamos. Oh, sorry, I skipped one. Toshma, the Pasuk says, Vahoya imcha ad droish ochicha oisai. The Pasuk says that the lost object should remain with you until your brother seeks it out. Now, what's the point of that? What are you going to think? You give it to him before he asks for it? How are you going to know that it's his? Ella, what it means is doshehu, means you have to investigate him until you investigate your brother imramai, who are in ramai, whether he's a swindler or not, And in other words, if you find out that he has, as the Gemara, as we'll learn tomorrow in more detail in the Gemara Beis Hashem, if you find out that he's a swindler, that he's falsely claiming that it's his, based on, for example, having seen the simonim while somebody else is holding on to it or whatever, we said before, generally we're not choshish for that, but if we find that the guy's a ramai, then you don't return it to him. So we see that you have to investigate him. My lab the simonim. The pashtus that means that we interrogate him by asking him for simonim. And the answer is lo, not necessarily be'edim. Maybe it means that he has to bring edim that it's his, and only then do we have a basis for saying that we should return it to him. Rabbeinu Hanano actually has a different take on the word be'edim. He says that it means that the guy would have to bring edim if he wants to collect it with Tvias Ayin. So Rabbeinu Hanano says, what we mean is if he wants to get it with Tvias Ayin, and we learned before that only a Tamid Chacham can do it, he would have to maybe bring edim that he's a Tamid Chacham. That, as we said, he changes he alters the truth only with three things that we mentioned, the Masech, the Mekoriyo, the Rosh Biza. And that would be the kind of edim we're talking about. So not like Rashi says, edim that it's his, but rather edim that he is not a ramai, but rather that he's a Tamid Chacham and that he can collect it based on Tvias Ayin. But maybe not necessarily is the pasuk implying edim at all. With that said, by the way, so now we're going through the sugya over here. In the end, the Gemara is going to point out on Chof Chesem and Aleph, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that there is a basis for saying that the Jiroi Shachicha Oisei does in fact mean interrogating him as far as the simonim, and there's a vote that's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, and also the Baal Turim brings it on the pasuk, that we can learn that actually from the word Oisei. The word Oisei means him, but we can also understand it to mean Ois. Oi, his ois, ois being another word for a simon. We had the other day in the Gemara. We had abshiyutin ois. You asked me actually the other day why the Gemara used that unusual expression abshiyutin ois. But based on this, it can be because the pasuk itself is hinting at simonim with the word oisoi, his ois. But here the Gemara hasn't gotten to that point yet. We'll deal with that tomorrow. That's a shame. Anyway, so the point is fine, but the word adroish shachicha oisoi doesn't necessarily mean that you're asking him for simonim. It can mean maybe that you're asking for edim that it's his, according to Rashi, or edim that he is a Talmud Chacham and is entitled to get it by Tvias Ayin, according to Rabbeinu Hanan. Tosfos points out that we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that Mishir Rabu Haramoyim, once there were many cheaters out there, then the Chacham required everybody to bring edim before they can collect a lost object. So the Mishnah can be talking about. So later on, we can be talking about where we have reason. We know that he's a damai, therefore we need edim. Ordinarily, though, we're saying that maybe that wouldn't be required, and simonim would be enough on a daraisa level, but maybe not. Maybe even on a daraisa level, you need edim. So no proof one way or the other. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring a proof from a matter of iser v'heter, which, after all, that's what we're saying. The nafkamina over here is iser v'heter, as far as returning a get. So let's bring. We learned a couple of years back in Yevamos, you have all the dinim about when a person has gone missing, and we have to know whether he's dead for his wife to be able to remarry. So the Mishnah says, "Ein me'idin el al parts of ponim and machoitim." You can only give edus when you find a body, only if you recognize the actual appearance of his face. Imat, which parts of ponim primarily means the forehead. Im hachoitim, together with the nose. So you have to be able to see enough of his face to clearly recognize that it was him. Now, even if you have simonim on his body, for example, a wart, as we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, or something about, well, we're going to see in a minute, actually, what kind of simonim on his body we're talking about, or simonim on his clothing. So that's not good enough. So you need to be able to recognize the face. Shmamina simonim lav daraisa. Doesn't that show that simonim are not valid on a daraisa level, and we need actual edus that it's him, which we can only have by recognizing his face? So if simonim then are not daraisa in that case, then that would be the case also by a regular aveda, and therefore that would answer the question that on a daraisa level you shouldn't return a lost get. But the Gemara says no, Amri, because the answer, the kind of simonim on his guf or on his clothing that the Mishnah is talking about over there that are no good is simonim that are not really considered a simon at all. In the case of the body, for example, they say he was tall or he was short. There are millions of people out there who are tall or who are short. So that's not really a simon at all. As opposed to if, let's say, if we had a simon that he had a wart or a scar on a certain area of his body, maybe that would be enough to be considered a simon for this purpose. And Caleb, in the case of clothing, the reason we can't use it for a simon, even if we have more distinctive simonim on the clothing, to Hashin and L'Sheila, we have the concern that he may have lent his clothing to somebody else. If you ever read, anybody here who ever read Marcus Lehmann's story, Out of the Depths, you have a big part of the plot turns on that. You have a husband who's disappeared, and then they find a body a couple of days later, and everybody thinks that it's him, and people are pressuring his wife to remarry, and the Rav over there, and the Reform Rabbi is telling her, yeah, go ahead, and the Frum Rav is telling her, no, what if your husband turns up? Akitzer Amaisa, it turns out that yes, he had, in the plot over there at one point, he's trying to run away and people shouldn't be able to trace him, so he trades clothing with some other fellow who eventually falls into the river and drowns. So, and eventually he comes back, and then, yeah, it's a whole story over there. It's fiction, of course, but, Marcus Lehmann was writing it to illustrate this kind of din. So you have to be concerned with clothing that he might have lent it out. Usually a person doesn't lend out his clothing, but nevertheless, it is possible. So the Gemara asks, well, then we said before that you return a donkey even if you only have simonim on the saddle, but why? A person might lend out his saddle to somebody else. Ah, so that's the answer. Ami, the answer is the answer is people do not lend out saddles because it's going to hurt the animal's back. Every saddle is exactly fitted to a particular donkey. If you put the wrong size saddle on a donkey, or one that's not as it is over time, that you use a saddle, if it molds itself to the animal's body, if you use it on a different animal, it's going to rub against the animal's body in places where it shouldn't, and it's going to cause the animal to get injury. So you wouldn't do that to begin with. As opposed to clothing, it's not like that. Therefore, you might well lend out clothing. Okay. So that's one way of understanding. So not necessarily is that Mishnah demonstrating that simonim are not daraisa. In the case of the body, we're talking about things that are not really a simon at all, just that he's tall or short. And in the case of kalim, in the case of clothing, fine, there was the concern that maybe he lent him out. All right, the Gemara says, Yibarisema, another way you can answer, even with Caleb, B'chibri of Asumki. Caleb also could be, not that we're concerned that they were lent out, but rather, again, the simonim on Caleb, on his clothing, are not even semi-distinctive simonim. For example, the clothing, the simon about the clothing is that they say that the clothing is white or red. Where again, there are millions of pieces of clothing out there that are white or that are red, so therefore that's not even a simon at all. Maybe, in fact, if they were to give a semi-distinctive simon, maybe we wouldn't be concerned about lending out clothing, and it would, in fact, be a valid simon for this purpose, for identifying the body. But the Mishnah may be talking about where you don't have any particular simon at all, just the color of the clothing, and that's like saying that he was tall or short, which is not a simon at all. The Gemara asks, if you're telling me that you're concerned that people may have lent out their things. Elohotatanya. What about we learn in a brisa? In the connection with a lost get, Matzik kosher b'kis over arnaki over tabas. If you find the get tied to a kiss, to a money bag, over arnaki or to a purse, over tabas or to a ring, and he recognizes that the purse or the ring or whatever is his, Osha Matzik ben Caleb, or he finds it among his other personal effects in his house, Afilah Lizman Merubah, even if he found it a long time later, kosher, then the get is kosher, and we don't have to be concerned. Now we learned at the end of the previous parak, we had the cases where you lose a get and you find it sometime later. We said if you find it la'alter, the Gemara tells us in Gittin, if you find it right away, then it's mutter because we're not concerned that it may actually be a different get with the same names, etc. But if you found it later on, and you said Makam Shash Yoris Mitsuyas in places where other people are passing through, then you have to be concerned that it might be a get with the same name from somebody else, etc. But here we're saying that if you found it tied to your kiss or your tabas or whatever, then we can say it's kosher and we're not concerned that it's a different one because you recognize the kiss or the tabas. Well, you have the same question. if you're going to tell me that we're concerned that a person might lend out his things, my kosher, why would the get be kosher? Don't we have the same concern that you might, that he might have lent out his kiss or his tabas or whatever? And therefore, how can you return the get on that? How can you return on that basis? And the answer is Amri, because the answer about kiss for Aaron Kibbutz Abbas, loy mashali inchi. These kinds of things, a person generally does not lend out. Kiss for Aaron Kibbutz Shum de Masami. People don't lend out their money bag or their purse because of a sin. They say that when a person lends his money bag to somebody else, it's like he's selling him or giving away his mazel. So therefore, people have this, it's not considered nichush, by the way. Rashi uses the expression menachshi. It's not considered nichush, which is also menatura, because they're not actually doing something because of it. They're saying this is something I'm not going to lend out on the basis of that. People have the idea that giving away or lending out your money bag amounts to giving away your mazel. So therefore you can be sure that he's not, therefore you're going to be, in fact, actually Tosfos points out a consideration called Davash Yeshve Mishum Rafua in Mishum Darche Hamori. Whenever you have something which is relevant to Rafua, then there's no issue of Darche Hamori, which includes Nichush in it. In other words, you have various kinds of practices, like what I mentioned in Shabbos, a whole bunch of them, that people would do back then, which on the face of it, there's no rational basis for them, but nevertheless, they're being done for healing purposes. So then we're not worried about Darche Hamori, and you're allowed to do it even if you don't understand how they work. So the same way over here, Tosfos learns this would be Mishum Rafua as well. So therefore, that would be allowed. So people don't lend out their money bag. Therefore, if he finds the get tied to his money bag, we can be sure that he never lent it out, and therefore this is the exact same get that he lost. The tabas, and the reason a person wouldn't lend out his ring, the ring usually has a signet on it, like we have in Megillas Esther, about Achashverosh giving Haman and then Mordechai his ring, Mishum de Mazayef. Mishum de Mazayef, the other person is going to forge things in his name with his stamp. So therefore, nobody's going to lend out their tabas, and therefore, if you find the get tied to the tabas, we may be sure that it's his tabas, and then he never lent it out, and therefore, the get is the original get that he lost. So even if it's Lazman Merubi, even if it's a long time later, then we're okay.
You give it back
to the shliach who lost it. Okay, so the point is, we can't prove from that one way or the other whether simonim are daraisa or darabanan. You could say simonim are. Only you could say that simonim are daraisa, middle simonim, that is. And we would say in the case of finding the body, we're saying that the simonim that the Mishnah says are no good are the first kind of simon, where there's many, many tall and short people and so forth. And with clothing, chayshin and lashela, and we can still say chayshin and lashela, with the exception of things that people never lend out, like we just said. Okay. Fine, so the Gemara says, so we don't have a proof one way or the other whether simonim are daraisa or darabanan lema katanoi. Should we say that this is actually the subject of a machlokas tanoi? A braisa says, ein me'idin ala shuma, you cannot give edus about a body that you found based on a wart. Shuma is a wart or a mole or something like that on his body. Rashi translates it as a wart.
So
we're going to talk about that in the Gemara. Wait. So right now, the Gemara is assuming that a wart is a middle kind of simon. It's not unique. It's not like this is the only person in the world that has a wart in that particular part of his body. On the other hand, it's uncommon enough that it can be considered a simon. So the Tanakhama says you cannot use that as a simon to identify the body. But Allah ban Mahabaya says you could. My lab bahokamifli. Wouldn't that be the argument between them? The Tanakhama saw the simonim dirabanan. The Tanakhama would say simonim of that type are only dirabanan. And here we're talking about an isur daraisa to be matur and eshes ish, and therefore it wouldn't be good enough according to the Tanakhama. But Allah Zaban Ma'avayim saw the simonim daraisa, and Allah Zaban Men Ma'avay would hold that even such simonim are valid on a daraisa level. So that would be exactly the machlokas that we're talking about. And since the halacha is like the Tanakhama, then that would mean simonim are not daraisa. And that would mean in the case of a lost get, you can't return it with the exception of what we just said when you have it attached to a keli, which is definitively his and was never lent out. But the Gemara says, Omar Rava, not necessarily. Dekula amas simonim daraisa. everybody might agree that middle type simonim are valid daraisa. The machlokas would be, is a ben giloi. Now, gil in modern Hebrew means age. But in Gemara terminology, ben giloi means not somebody who's the same age, but somebody who was born under the same mazel. So in other words, they have certain commonalities between them. The Gemara mentions in Nedarim, for example, that such a person is able to take away 1/60th of a person's sickness and when bringing it on himself, because yes, if they share the same mazel, means they share the same shodash and neshama, the same root of their neshama, and therefore there's going to be certain commonalities and similarities between them. So the machlokas would be, is such a wart likely to be on Ben Gilad? And in that case, the body that you found might not be his, the one that we're looking for. It might be the body of his Ben Gil. So, of somebody else who was born under the same mazel and also happened to pass away. Here we're trying to find, Sarah comes to us and says, my husband Abraham disappeared, and then we find a body and we're trying to identify it as Abraham. But who says it's Abraham? Maybe it's somebody else who has the same mazel as Abraham and also happens to have a wart in the same part of his body.
See a body hiding mazel.
You don't. That's the point. In other words, that's the question. Can we assume that maybe there's a Ben Gilad out there who has exactly the same wart, and when we find a body, we don't know whether it might be him or somebody else. So Marsava Shuma Matsuya Ben Gilad, the Tanakama holds that yes, there may be a Ben Gil out there who has the same wart in exactly the same position and size and whatever, and therefore it's not a simon. Or Marsava Shuma Inim Matsuya Ben Gilad, whereas Allah Ben Mahavai would hold that not.
So it has to do nothing with the dirt. It has to do with the whoever has the same model will have a wart in the same place. Then.
We don't know necessarily, but that's the question. Is that in fact the case? So in other words, like this, we're saying, I know this person had a wart in a certain place on his body, a certain shape, a certain size, or whatever. Are there likely to be other people out there who are his Ben Gula, who were born under the same mazel, who have exactly the same thing, and therefore the body that you found might be one of them? Tanakama holds yes, so Allah Zaman Mahabai holds that. Another possibility is they may both agree that a shuma is not commonly found in exactly the same position and size by somebody else. The machlokas would be, are the simonim likely to change after the person dies? So Rashi explains, let's say you might have a wart or a mole that was black while he was alive, and now maybe after he dies it turns to a different color. So Mar Sover, Simon Nasun Lishanis Lachamissa, the Tanakama holds it may well change in appearance after he dies. So yes, you find a body that has a wart in a certain place, and you're gonna say that's him, and you're gonna say, I recognize that wart, but when he was alive, maybe that wart looked different. So therefore it's not the same person. Mar Sover, whereas Elozav and Mahavai would hold, Simon and Ein Lasun Lishanis Lachamissa, they don't generally change in appearance after the person died, and therefore yes, we can identify him based on that. It depends what, maybe it depends what time. There has to be a certain maximum amount of time. And the truth is nowadays when they have DNA testing and other things like that, there are poskim who allow that for identifying, for example, after September 11th, there were many people where all that was left of them were a few fragments here and there and all the ashes and everything over Manhattan. And there were poskim who said that based on what on the forensics that they're doing, they can be matter their wives to marry. Yet another possibility. We could say both the Tanakhama and Elozim and Mahavai agree that a shuma does not usually change in appearance after the person died, yet they can both hold that simonim are drabbanon. The machlokas would be, though, is a shuma a higher level simon, which is considered not just a regular simon, but a simon muvak. Is it a unique simon? Is it a unique simon? Mar sava shuma simon muvaku, or mar sava shuma lav simon muvaku, where Elozav and Mahavai would hold that it's a simon muvak. So even if we say that regular simonim are derabanan, but a simon muvak would be valid even on deraisale, says Elozav and Mahavai. That's what we're saying. No. Not, in other words, we would say that of the three types of simonim, a simon muvhak would be valid deraisa. An ordinary simon would be valid only derabanan, but a simon muvhak would be valid deraisa. So Elozav ben Mahavai would hold that, whereas the Tanakhama would hold Fine, if it was a simen muvak, I'd agree with you. But a shuma is not enough of a simen muvak. It's more of an average type simen rather than a simen that's unique to him. So you can have sort of different ways of different ways of learning the machlokas that don't require us to say that they're arguing whether simonim are daraisa or dirabon. Okay. The Gemara continues, Omar Rava, im tinsaloma simonim lav daraisa. Look, Rava says I can give you a very simple logic that that simonim must be daraisa. If you're going to tell me that returning a lost object is not daraisa, it's only takana dirabonan, heichim adudin aveda b'simonim, then b'chlal, how are we returning an aveda based on a lost object? After all, why would the Chachamim get involved in the Sufik over here and tell us to return something to somebody who it may not even be his? Mele, if it's Daraisa, okay, that's the way the Eidoshim decided. But the Chachamim are going to make a Takana only when they know there's going to be benefit from it. But here, isn't there the possibility you're going to end up returning something to somebody to whom it doesn't belong to, and therefore you're depriving the rightful owner of it? Why would the Chachamim make such a Takana? So there, doesn't that itself show that simonim must be daraisa, average simonim that is? And the Gemara answers no. The nichalei the motz aveda in the head of a simonim. No, you could say that the one who finds the aveda would not even focusing on the somebody else that it potentially might belong to. The motz himself appreciates the takanas hachamim that he should be made to return it once the other guy gives simonim, average simonim, ki heichet, ki av delevedi day, nami nehed relevi simonim. Because eventually he's going to lose something, and the same thing, he'll be able to get it back based on simonim. So in other words, it benefits, over time, it benefits everybody else. It's true, right now, you're losing out from it, and you might well want to say, I don't want the takanas hachamim, but the fact is, later on, you're going to end up benefiting from it, so therefore the hachamim have reason to make that takana and apply it across the board. But the Gemara asks, Ella, Nichale the Bala Veda, so, Omelet of Safra the Rava. However, Safra says to Rava, does that work? How can a person do himself a favor with money that's not, with money or something that's not his? Why is it, you're saying the one who found it benefits from this, okay, but what the one who lost it, potentially somebody else may have lost it, not the one you're returning it to. He wouldn't appreciate that you're giving this to somebody else to whom it didn't belong in the first place. So still, how would the Chachamim make such a Takana and make it work? Why wouldn't we say that the potential actual owner of the thing doesn't appreciate that you're returning it? So here, Reuven lost it, and Shimon found it, and Levi comes and gives a simon for it, and we're saying we're giving it to Levi. Fine. Shimon, we can say, benefits from it, because he realizes in the future, if he loses something, he'll be able to get it back on simon. Reuven, Levi certainly appreciates it, because he's getting it. Why would Reuven appreciate it? How can we be doing a favor like that at Reuven's expense? Actually, the Shita Mekubetzes points out, okay, listen, and if you don't return it based on simonim, then he's going to be miyayish for sure, because unless he has a simon muva for Edom, he's not going to be able to get it back. So there's many cases he wouldn't lose out anyway. And he says, because when you have something that has a simon, often it has a simon muva, or often it's easy enough to find Edom who'll recognize it by Tvias Ayin. So he actually is losing out if you end up that somebody comes with a simon she'enim muvak, with an average simon, and you give it to him, he wouldn't have been miyayish from it, because he thinks I have a simon muvak on it, or I can find edim that will testify based on the simon muvak, and therefore you are actually causing him a loss. So the Psachra says, how does that work? Rather, the reason is, nichale the bala veda la may of simon la mishkale. The reason is, it's the one who lost the aveda himself appreciates the takanas chachamim that he can give simonim and get back this thing. May the yada the edim lesle. He knows he may not have edim that have it. Umema omar, so he's going to think to himself, kulai alma lo yadi simonim of hokim diga. Nobody else knows the simonim of hokim of this object. Only I, who are the owner of it, I will be able to provide the simonim of hakim and take it. So he himself appreciates that takana. So it helps for him instead of having to go and look for edim who will recognize it. Then it helps him out. Tosfos points out we don't mean full simonim of hakim, because again, then on Zaraisa, then for sure those would be valid on a Zaraisa level. You don't need to resort to a Tachanas HaKamim. What we mean is, in other words, yeah, but a little better than average middle ones. In other words, everybody else might be able to say, we're going to learn tomorrow in the Gemara some examples where, for example, you have, let's say, one person mentions the length of it and another mentions the width. So one is a stronger simon than the other. I'm the one, because I own it, I can give a stronger simon than anybody else. It may not be a simon muvhak. It may not be something which is unique to this thing, but nevertheless, it's going to be a lot more unique than what anybody else can offer, and therefore it's good for me, the Baal HaAveda, to be able to get it back with Simonim, and therefore that can be a basis why the Chachamim would make the Sakana and tell the one who found it, even though on a Daraisa level, you might be able to keep it, until the guy brings Edim, or Simonim that are completely Mubhakim. Nevertheless, the Chachamim are telling him, go ahead and return it, based on the average Simonim that the guy is giving, because it benefits him, and therefore that's what you should be doing. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll deal with, well, then in that case, how does that work with shtaris? We learned at the end of the previous parak that you have to return, in certain cases, you return a lost shtar, and the loiva certainly doesn't appreciate the shtar being returned to the malva, or vice versa, the malva being returned to the loiva. So we see that not always is everybody benefiting from it. So how does that work? So we'll take up and continue with that point tomorrow, Beis Hashem. About in that case, if we say that simonim are derabanan, then in that case, why do you return in those cases?
Yeah, each one knows is a nuclear thing. A star,
but again, eventually, yeah, everything has simonim of hakim, but not necessarily do you know. Yes, obviously, if you know the simonim of hakim of the star, for example, we learned before, neck of yeshba b'tzad ois pleni, this get has a hole in certain sort of place, that would be a simon muvhak, and there's no question daraisa that would be valid. But here we're talking about where you don't necessarily have such a distinctive simon. You know, let's say, for example, the names in the get. But after all, there could conceivably be other people out there who have the same names. So,
circumcision back is a problem like a get.
Well, that's what's driving the whole survey over here. If we say simonim adirabanan, then you shouldn't return a get with simonim, with regular simonim. You would need either a simon muvhak or edim. Yeah, that's driving the survey over here. So yeah, we're going to continue and then continue at this point tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're bringing Metziah. Well, a get is an example of a Metziah. If we say that simonim are daraisa, then it works even to return a get to the shliach. If we say they're only derabanan, then we're saying that not. No, well, here we're talking about where the shliach is the one who lost it. So here we're talking about, Rashi points out at the top of the Amud, we're talking about the shliach lost it and somebody else found it. So then the question is, are we returning it to the shliach or not? Or do we have to assume that it might be another get that happens to have the same names or whatever that was found, and it's not necessarily the same one?
What's the halacha?
So that's what we're going to deal with in the end tomorrow, Beis Hashem, what the halacha is as far as this.
Is it the Rasha? Is it the Rabbanan?
We'll wait till tomorrow and we'll find out, Beis Hashem.
Shkeach.
Shkeach.